Final Reflections on Marlowe's Tragedy, Dr. Faustus. We should return to the split in sensibilities that made our early modern predecessors read this play so differently from the way we tend to read it today. From the Romantic period onward, the tendency is to cast Marlowe's protagonist as a genuine hero on a quest to transcend limitations placed on humanity. But Marlowe's audiences were closer to the medieval mindset that would respect the limits we want to transcend, so they most likely tended to interpret Faustus' fall as a moral exemplum of what happens when people fail to respect God's will. The 2011 through 2012 Globe Theater production seems to do a good job of presenting both of these viewpoints together or alongside each other, which seems respectful of what we may conjecture to have been Christopher Marlowe's intentions. At times, we may view the famous learned doctor with empathy because we see something of ourselves in his proto-romantic dissatisfaction with the constraints humans face. We may identify, too, with his ennui or all-consuming boredom, but even as we do so, we recognize that much of his effort all too easily and all too predictably and even comically gets dragged down into the maw of baser human appetites. Marlowe sees that the silly or trivial parts of his play are part of the hero's tragedy. Once again, for the millionth time, we see humanity reaching for the stars and falling grotesquely, yet somehow grandly, into the ditch. The comedy in the play isn't a superfluous addition to an otherwise serious text. It is integral to its moral and theological framework. In Shakespeare's tragedies, we usually see things more fully through the protagonist's eyes than we do in Marlowe's masterpiece. But even so, Shakespeare is resourceful in finding ways to keep us from wholly identifying with his protagonists. Among the most powerful of those ways has to do with his play's structure, where we often find comic scenes twinned with heavier or even tragic scenes, or even combined, as happens in several of Marlowe's structural units in Dr. Faustus. In the end, as Dr. Johnson says, quote unquote, "Shakespeare has no heroes." In this regard, Kit Marlowe may have been his famous colleague and rival's best teacher. King Lear has his fool, and Dr. Faustus has himself. In his sometimes underrated historical drama, King Henry VIII, Shakespeare ascribes to the disgraced but once great Cardinal Wolsey a remarkably self-aware sentiment that blends together our feeling for the sublime and the ridiculous in humanity, the light and the heavy, the serious and the absurd. The cardinal thinks back on his time and power in Henry's order and says wistfully, honestly, this: "I have ventured like little wanton boys that swim on bladders this many summers in a sea of glory, but far beyond my depth, my high-blown pride at length broke under me, and now has left me, weary and old with service, to the mercy of a rude stream that must forever hide me. Vain pomp and glory of this world, I hate ye, I feel my heart new opened. Oh, how wretched is that poor man that hangs on princes' favors! There is betwixt that smile we would aspire to, that sweet aspect of princes, and their ruin more pangs and fears than wars or women have. And when he falls like Lucifer, never to hope again." Act 3, Scene 2, from a public domain e-text. That kind of passage is the fruit of many playwrights' struggles to create an adequate level of interiority in their characters, without losing the semblance of coherence that comes with the external structures imposed by religion, society, and politics. Thanks for listening. The date of this audio recording is Friday, June 20th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have used the 2018 New Mermaids edition of Marlowe's Dr. Faustus.